See, part of our problem is because our faith and the way that we're doing some of the things that will help to bring about our greater Krishna consciousness. Yes, all we really have to do is just take greater shelter of Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru. All we really have to do is go deeper in the nine angas, Umsi of Bhakti, the limbs of Bhakti. So our Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. All we really have to do is do that. But hey, we ain't doing it so well. Why are so many people falling down? Why so many people are deviating? Why so many people are dissatisfied with themselves, with their environments? So that means then we have to then look a little closer to see why the medicine is there and we are not taking the medicine to the extent that it should be taken, and why the medicine is there and sometimes we take it but the disease goes on. The medicine works, so as we have medicine, we also have prescription of how it is to be taken to get the proper results. We take medicine improperly, it even gives us unhealthy reaction. And so more people go to the hospitals because of unhealthy, reaction due to drugs than almost any other thing. More people go into the emergency ward due to improper use or due to different drugs, reacting. So yes, we can even have a drug that works, but if we don't use it in the proper way, then we won't get the effects, and sometimes it can even hurt us. Let's kill one more demon.
Can I vow to just make my 16 rounds of japa in front of all you every day? That's my New Year's resolution for this day forward. My 16 rounds of japa for the love that I have felt in this community.
Wonderful. So she's making Haribo. She's helping us to kill this demon about the lack of spiritual standard and developing more brahminical culture, in that sense. So this is good. Let's have one more. We'll take yourself and then Rati Majori, and then we will have killed a whole lot of, wounded a lot of serious demons. We have a little bit more clarity of some other demons we need to wound and destroy. But, we're having some interesting phase of warfare. Okay. Yes, go ahead. Okay. Economic weakness. That's a big demon. You are a bold warrior. Yes.
So in the coming year, actually, in the fundraising department, we try to launch more campaigns so that our big congregation, which is spread out all over North America, can get involved in some other way based on their choices, like someone would like to protect the cows, someone would like to take care of the needies. So all these categories we want to create so that more and more people can serve in various ways the community. And if more funds can come into the community, then more devotees can be engaged in various kinds of services in order to get more funds, like a chip reaction. So to summarize, one is to launch more campaigns.
Okay.
And then second is to develop a bigger congregation, cultivate the congregation so that the congregation gets involved, automatically the economic problem is taken care of. So these 2 points I've mentioned.
It's wonderful. I mean, isn't it wonderful as we made that list of things that we like in the community to remind ourselves of so many beautiful things that we are experiencing in our association? Isn't it also wonderful, is even though we have this terrible list up here, to hear some things that the devotees are thinking about, the things that they can actually do. Just imagine what happens. We have almost 250, 300 people or so within this, this community. Just think if every person chose something that they're going to see how to give some small improvement on. That it's by little things, it's by commitment, and doing little things with intensity and dedication that makes big transformations. It's not just by having ideas and not stepping to do something and waiting and having a big vision but not being able to have energy and time and resource to execute it. It's a matter often by commitment to little things that we do with big dedication. And so we all have the power, much more power than we realize, to be able to have a better environment if just serious number of people will follow through on different things that they can do. I mean, one of the areas was a lack of thinking that there are solutions, or lack of accepting that there are solutions. There is no problem in anybody's, in any of our communities, that there is not a solution for. Otherwise, again, Krishna is not fair and he's cheating us. He's giving us a task that's so insurmountable, all we can do is just get frustrated in doing it. Imagine a teacher who gives assignments knowing that nobody in that class can do it. That would be considered a cruel teacher. She gives an assignment, tell you, okay, try to, you know, do this, resolve this. She realizes that, nobody, you're not going to be able to figure this out. She's a cruel teacher. Students will get frustrated. They won't learn. So Krishna's not giving us something that's too difficult for us to be able to make it happen. But as one of the demons is, that covers over, is that we have to realize, hey, yeah, so it is a huge, huge demon. But this big demon can be destroyed by very deep and richer devotion. But now we have to do certain things so that our devotion becomes richer, and then we bomb that demon at the root, and then the whole thing gets destroyed. But while we're not able to do that fully, keep that in mind, we also find ways to weaken so that it becomes easier and we have more consolidation and teamwork to do that real bombing and get to the roots of everything. Because at the end of the day, the only real solution is to become more Krishna conscious. Become more Krishna conscious means that there may be economic benefit or not, economic security, and it may not, but we do our best. It means that maybe a healthy education, I mean sufficient education, there may not. There may not be improvement on the grounds. There may or may not. It means we try, but even not, it's not a big deal. Because at the end of the day, we at least do our very best and we depend on Krishna. But we are trying to be used by Krishna, and we do want to minimize our complexities so that our spiritual life is more direct and more joyful. And that's on each of us. Each of us have a responsibility as well as we have, you know, particular needs. Okay, so our economic demon here, big one that surfaces and harasses almost everybody at this time. He just got wounded, I think, huh? Was he wounded?
Yes!
Hari Bol!
Which one
did
Japa come under?
Okay. Pajapa was number two. The Japa would go under deeper spiritual commitments. We would say strong spiritual inspiration, 6, or either brahminical culture, 11. Okay. So, she just do a weapon, a blow at number 6.
Well, you have to ask everybody, because I'm not alone. Okay.
Good, she's reminding me about my own rules. She offered about chanting more seriously as a way that she's going to commit herself, greater intensity of her 16 rounds every day. That perhaps in her life she hasn't been doing the 16 rounds every day. She's making this vow that she's going to commit herself to the 16 rounds distinctly every day, and touching upon the weakness of spiritual culture. So we considered that maybe this can go under the category of strong spiritual inspiration, because as we become more inspired individually, it is a fact that we inspire someone else. As we become weakened, then we kind of weaken someone else also. So I want to suggest that she do a blow at number 6. Can we accept her blow? Okay. Hari Bol. Yeah. Okay, I just have time to do one other short exercise. If you realize what I'm doing, I'm just dovetailing that I want to have fun in Krishna consciousness, so I'm just dovetailing, trying to find ways these days to create some interactive things, some spiritual games. And I got a whole lot of others that I have in my little secret game package, but next time I come, we will experiment in some of those. What I want to do now is as serious, or more serious in some ways. This is also very serious, of course, beyond a doubt. Things that we are distracted with that interfere with our devotion weakens our faith and weakens our resolve and causes us to even doubt sometimes the process of Krishna consciousness. Now, one of the significant areas of strengthening our faith in Krishna and Guru is reflecting or revisiting some times in our life where we can distinctly see that there was divine intervention. A particular time in our life when we were in difficulty, we were confronted with a serious setback, we were experiencing a serious lack of faith or bewilderment, we were confused about a choice that we should make, and we got some we got some distinct help that's clear in our minds that it was due to divine intervention. That we were confused, bewildered, in a difficult situation, whatever. And through our prayers and through our ongoing commitment and perseverance, we can see that Krishna came through for us, or Guru came through. Now I'm going to share one short story while you think of yours. We want to have a few of you to share. Because again, faith becomes stronger based on what happens around you. And so when so many inauspicious things are happening, it causes faith to get weak. When so many comforting and helpful things happen, it makes your faith strong. But even when these things happen, there are times when we have to also remind ourselves of how they have happened, so that we again can have more of that, and that we can have more appreciation for the good things that are happening, or the way that Krishna intervenes into our life. But the same way we do with the two lists, we look at so many good things that we like about in our community to help to reinforce our excitement about being a member of the community. We make the list of things that we don't like, and we then draw attention to what we can individually do to try, you know, to make a difference, to add something, add some value, as we look again at our obligations and duties to the community, you know, as well as our needs. Now this last thing we want to look at is some situation in our individual lives where we were bewildered, we were confused, we were experiencing some level of destitution, and we maintained our faith, did the necessary spiritual thing, and we get results. It was blessings, it was intervention. Now I'm going to give an example. And I share all kinds of things because that's my nature, that I want to walk my talk. When I talk about we have a greater trust culture, which then adds to greater faith and greater love, when there's less covering up of information or experiences or resources or whatever. That is more than open, honest. And the first day, community means healthy communication. It means wonderful cooperation. It means wonderful communion or satsang or samskaras, things that we do together. And then devotees can complement each other. So I want to share a very complex situation for me. It didn't happen so long ago. I have many of those, but one is very, very complex. And it put me, you know, in a real dilemma. I mean, now it's not. I look back in retrospect. But at that time, it was a serious, serious dilemma. It had to do with the Narayan Maharaj issue, which we all heard of and we know about. So at a time when it was at a very high point, you know, amongst some of the leaders, where some very prominent leaders in our movement were really taking our movement, either consciously or unconsciously, but they were taking our movement away from the particular form that Prabhupada had in fact given us. And I'm sure they had good intentions, but basically what they were doing really was that they were creating a surrogate. They were really beginning to replace Srila Prabhupada, you know, with Narayan Maharaj. And these are some very serious leaders in our society who definitely had the best intention about the movement. And they were getting a certain kind of assistance and help from Narayan Maharaj. And some of them, it was kind of natural, because in their existence, the early part of their spirit, most part of their spiritual life, they had Prabhupada's physical association. When Srila Prabhupada left, they did not have his physical association. And so for them, it was kind of very, even more difficult, because there was no one like that who they could kind of look up to. And there was an absence. And so Srila Maharaj appearing kind of gave them that person who they could now relate to and get that kind, some of that kind of, some of that kind of information or association that they were getting from Prabhupada as an elderly, pure Vaishnava sadhu. Anyway, this is all kind of, you know, I'm speaking very open about this because I think it's good to understand history and some of the dynamics of our movement and dynamics of what we do as leaders, because we also are every day making choices and every day making influences, positive and negative, on the society that we all have to be a part of. So anyway, at one point, I had a meeting with two of the prominent persons, two or three of them, who were accepting, you know, Narayan Maharaj. Now, I really try hard not to be, not to be sectarian. I try hard, even though I don't work, and it doesn't always happen, but I try not to be close-minded. And so, I was very receptive to these leaders who had an idea, who had a concern that ISKCON would be helped more by connecting more with, you know, with this elderly acharya. And so, and I respected these, you know, these devotees who were speaking like this and feeling like this. I also saw, to a certain extent, they had gotten some help. And so I wanted to keep a very open mind. And so as they were talking to me, and we were discussing this, and I was going in deep, deep reflection of seeing many positive things and many negative and dangerous things, and I was rather confused about whether to join them and to be a part of that particular wave, or whether to accept it and feel that it was okay for them but not for me, or whether to accept that it was just something that was going to happen in ISKCON and let that happen, let other things happen. Also, the other part was whether it was something that I should personally get involved and try to stop. So I was very kind of at a crossroads, because I knew especially that in this particular case, and it, I began to unfold, that Ranath Maharaj and myself were probably going to be major factors to determine what that, what was going to come about with that particular wave. So, I don't mind being alone about whatever. You know, I'm a minority, so I'm used to not fitting in or accepting whatever the general scheme is if I'm not comfortable with it. But at the same time, we all want to do what will please our spiritual master. So what I did, while we were having this discussion, I kind of went off for a while and just got into a very prayerful state. Just in moments. And I just asked the Prabhupada that it was important for me to know right then, before those people left, those devotees left, what was right. Because it was, you know, sometimes as leaders we, you know, as anybody do, you talk and you strategize, you formulate something, and then later you present it, or later you act upon it, but there's some points where there is some formalization going. Everything, you know, there's some planning. And so there was a serious, they were at a serious planning stage of launching a particular, you know, vision on the whole of ISKCON. So, I prayed, and then, like 5 minutes later, after praying and then associating again, the answer came. Now this is very delicate, but I'm just sharing this with you so you can understand how we as leaders have to deal with also awesome challenges, and how all of us have to be very careful about decisions that, you know, that we make. Because whatever we say and do is going to have influence. And the more power we have, more influence, the more our decisions are going to have some particular impact. So, I asked these leaders, I kind of put them in a situation almost by force, to do what I felt was necessary, what I was doing. I asked him, I says, will you pray to Prabhupada that if what you are about to do and what you've accepted, if it's not pleasing to him, that he sabotages it? Understand what I'm saying now? Here there was a plan, and with some uncertainty about how this, if this plan would really be the best for our society. And so, in my own way, I made my prayer to Prabhupada to help me to know if this is what I should participate in, what I should assist, or whether I should actively to sabotage it, to try to stop it. And so I then asked them that there are sometimes things that are beyond any of us individually or collectively, and we have to more directly put it at the mercy of Prabhupada. So let us do this. Let us all actively, energetically try to keep on thinking how we can do what's necessary to make the movement better. But let's also pray that if this is not what Prabhupada wants, that he expedites sabotaging it so it doesn't happen. When I said that, the two parties said no. So my answer was clear. If you're so stuck with this program based on what you want, what you think, what you need, which may be genuine, but you're not ready to accept, if Prabhupada doesn't want this, then you're ready to revert from, even though you may want it, you're ready to change. And so I felt that this is what I was ready to do, because I didn't feel like I had the intelligence or the potency to really be clear if this was the right thing. But I tried to be a spiritual warrior, and if it wasn't the right thing, I was definitely going to do something to help to stop it. So, when I asked that question, and they said no, and they gave all kind of beautiful rationalizations why they could not make that prayer. And for me it was, hey, it's very obvious that this is not the proper course of action. Because you're so attached to what you want to happen that if anything, you've begun to rationalize with good intention that it's something good for everybody. But you're not ready to accept that if Prabhupada doesn't want it, that we open ourselves and pray that whatever is necessary speeds up to stop it. And so after they said that, I smiled, heard their rationalizations, heard their explanations, didn't lose any faith and appreciation for them, but I realized I'm going to do what I can to stop this. And to warn some others that, look, there is more to this than what we are hearing and accepting. This is a very serious affair. Knowing that there would be many who would be quite neutral and would play in and would accept such. And also knowing that in this particular situation, that persons like Ranath Maharaj and myself, who were going to be some significant players when we came in Mayapur, to also warn him that, hey, this isn't something that is not exactly what it appears to be, even with good intention. And then there was this check of that at the Mayapur. Anyway, I'm just giving an example of that. We do have to keep reminding ourselves that the Acharyas and Prabhupada are there, and that Krishna knows what is best, and that even when we have big, big indecisive things that we're confronted with, that if we maintain the faith, and if we, and when we're not, and we, and when we don't know what to do, we have to have faith to really to ask Krishna, ask Guru, I know what I think I need, I know what I want, but you know exactly what I need. There, dear Lord, please, or dear Guru, you arrange what is best. Sometimes we have to make the extra prayer. Give me more ability to accept this. But we can put it like that. As we do that, our faith is deeper, then we have more powerful results happening in our life. Because then we are turning our lives over more to Krishna and to Guru, and it becomes now their duty to do the necessary, because they don't break their contracts. And Krishna has said, as we surrender, He will reward us accordingly. So sometimes, even when the greatest level of bewilderment and confusion, we have to say, okay, Krishna, if this is what you want, then you let it happen. I'm simply going to be an instrument. I'm not going to stop it, or am I going to push it? If whatever you want, you let it happen, or you stop it, and then I will know what course of action to do, or then I will act according to that particular situation that you have manifested. And we do this with faith. It means faith, deeper faith. Then Krishna will come through. So this is my example of a time of being confused and having my faith tested, in the sense that I could have also kind of agreed with what was rational and definitely seemed and appeared and had all good intentions of being something that was wonderful. I went against my normal grain, because my normal grain is I'm kind of revolutionary and radical and I'm ready to take risk. But I want to take conscientious risk. And I don't like something that comes off, appears to be, you know, to be too sectarian. Because I feel the Krishna consciousness is vast and is penetrating and it's all encompassing. But we do have specific identity. And we have specific loyalties based on our commission and connection to what we have made our vows to. And Krishna is going to evaluate us based on how we're serving our particular gurus in our particular project. That no accident that we have a certain service, a certain project, and we will be evaluated based on how we do in our particular class, maybe many other classes, but how we do in our class is how we're going to be evaluated. So I talked too long on that. But if we can have a few of you who can just briefly share a point in time when at a crossroads, or in bewilderment, or at a situation where you could have been faithless, but you maintained faith, and you had some clarity based on that. Some divine intervention, some divine blessings that you know was more than just your own doing, more than just your own intelligent perception, that it was Krishna or Guru who had actually intervened. These kind of things have that interesting way of reminding us what Krishna and Guru does do, and has a way to help us to revisit situations where our faith paid off, where our faith definitely works, which helps us to have more faith in the present, you know, as well as in the future. Okay, can we have a few who can share a faith-challenging situation? Okay. Dweja. So again, this is like warriors talking, you know, war stories, you know, battles. How somehow we, in this battlefield, when it was pretty intense, but, you know, we got out of there without getting, you know, fully destroyed. Okay.
So one time, 7 years ago, I was on the street in distribution, and there were quite a few people coming to me saying, quite often you'll get born again Christians who are kind of militant, and they'll try and disturb the book distribution. So, and I was on my own as well, which was kind of an unusual situation. Usually we work in pairs, devotees would work in pairs. So, but I let happen to be on my own. And there was this man who was systematically stopping anyone that had taken a book, he would systematically stop them just a little way down the road. And I don't know what he said to them, but he would convince them to give him the book. Sometimes he didn't, but usually they would. And he would make a point of putting this book, Prabhupada's book, in the garbage. Mm. And this went on for some time. It wasn't just like a one-off thing. So I was becoming bewildered as to what to do, because you have choices in that situation. You could leave the town, but I didn't want to do that because that would disrupt the distribution even more. And I didn't want to be defeated by this activity. So I was kind of naturally inclined to do this person some physical harm.
Anyone who's been in that situation knows what it's like to see the other people.
Yes.
You're standing there, you're distributing Prabhupada's books, working hard, and you're seeing someone, not just that they're putting Prabhupada's books in the bin, but that they're taking them from people that
yes.
they're taking those books from. It's a very disturbing thing. So I was faced with this challenge of what to do. You know, should I just go with my instinct and take the guy out? Or what would you cause up to in problems?
He's a demon killer. Yes.
So I decided that what I'll do is I'll chant one round, I'll stop what I'm doing, go to the side, and chant one round, and then see what happens. So I did that. And just as I was kind of coming to the end of that round, opposite me was a bank, and they had an ATM machine. And I saw that this man, this one Christian man, was there, and you could see that there was some disturbance going on. And it became clear to me that actually what was happening is the machine had eaten his card, the machine had actually chewed his card up, and he was ranting, and I mean, it was a little bit crazy, I have to say, it wasn't just the average born-again Christian. So he was, you know, obviously he was like shaking his fist at the machine, and then I saw him like storming into the bank, obviously to complain. And I never saw him after that. So it was really clear to me at that particular instance that somehow or another, by you know, mercy of the Guru and the devotees and everything, that I'd done the right thing. And I just left. I just turned it over to Krishna, and it all just disappeared.
Amazing. It sounded like he went to the bank, complained, he got arrested, they took him away.
I never saw him. And I yes. Just
on that. Vaishnava Gorgi. Prayers, Vandanam, it's actually very powerful. Last year in Divnamors, it's actually our largest festival that we have in the world now. It's outside of Moscow. And I did a whole course on prayer. Because so often, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we consider but we're chanting the Maha Prayer, everything is taken care of. Yes, if we chant deep enough. But what happens with our mind during all the other hours of the day? After we chant, we put our rounds of beads down in most cases. So there are times when we need to also to be much more prayerful about the things that we do, and much more mindful. So in this situation, he was living the holy name, but wanting to give out the books. We chant the holy name, we want to engage in service. Here somebody was distracting him from his service and was a real live demon right in front of him. He was taking the books, was stopping other people from getting the mercy, and then was being blasphemous and throwing the books in the garbage can. So I was trying to serve and give people a chance to know about Krishna. He was very bewildered, and seeing this blaspheme in front of him, it was terrible for his own consciousness. And so he was concerned of what to do. And he went into reflection to prayer in such a way. And his internal connection, and then man puts his card in there and he gets disturbed, goes and something happens, and then he's not there with source of botheration. The Lord in the heart is watching us, and we have to have more faith in that way. Someone else can share? Okay, brother.
You I know at one point in my life, you know, when I was 14, my mother had to die, and so that like shattered me. So I, you know, you were saying, you know, at one point, you know, you could lose faith. And of course, at that point, I could have, because I was thinking, you know, I could like being raised in the church and doing everything in the church. And then this happens. And so you say, you know, what's to life, what's to people? You know, God just takes your mother away. So, you know, you just go through life thinking, you know, just that's all you think. What's to it? And then you do find just through reading and through, you know, just always hanging for that, you know. And reading, you find out that, you know, you just don't lose faith. I never lost faith in God, you know. So whatever happens or whatever has happened, you know, the path you have to take, you know, it's final time for me, and I have lost faith. That just through, you know, in my heart, and knowing now that, you know, acknowledging Krishna and knowing that Krishna knows my heart, you know, he just, you know, keeps me going. It keeps me knowing that he's always there. So I know that, you know, it doesn't matter what happens, you know, on the path, on the journey, whether it's, you know, delayed or whatever, and, you know, reaching your goal or, you know, trying to go home, you know, I know Krishna is always there. So it doesn't matter what happens, you know, I know Krishna is there. He knows my heart and, you know, knows the journey.
Okay. So you go back to when you were a teenager, even before you came into Krishna consciousness, I think, then you had this really traumatic encounter. When we lose our mother, our father, especially when we're young, it's devastating. So you can see that from there, and later you were brought into Krishna consciousness, even understand this better. Since you've been in Krishna consciousness, you can also have a whole list of so many things that were challenging to faith, and hopefully as you're saying, that you have been accepting Krishna's still there, and you're going on. See, one of the bigger things about the faith, we talked yesterday about faith between, trust between devotees and healthy association. But there are times when people will disappoint us, and people will cheat us. And we're still supposed to forgive them, and we're supposed to have faith. So, how does that fit in? That there are genuine situations where people do exploit us, do harm us, do disappoint us, do cheat us. There are genuine situations where we have right to be extremely disturbed. And then I'm talking about trust and how important that is. Well, we are not to be foolish. We are to learn, but we are to have trust in Krishna. And because we have trust in Krishna and Guru, then we're able to weather so many of these other things that will, from time to time, jump forth and will disappoint us and will cheat us. That doesn't stop. By being more loving, being more forgiving and trusting more, it doesn't stop people who are not trustworthy, who we have to interact with. It doesn't stop people from sometimes doing something similar or doing something else to us. But the point is that if we have more trust in Krishna, then we keep trust in what Krishna has offered us, the prescription, knowing that it will work as we continue our faith and dedication, that it will happen and unfold in Krishna's time. So because it's late, now I think we'll take maybe one more person. But even though only a few of you are having a chance to speak, we hope that everyone does their own reflection, because we all have wonderful situations and encounters in the past where Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, your guru, came through to assist you, which should help to strengthen your faith as you think about, you know, some of those times. Okay? Ratima Joy? And see, if we don't have these happening in our life, we should give up Krishna consciousness. It ain't working. But we do have. We just have to remind ourselves about such.
Mm-hmm. Several years ago, I was experiencing a lot of devastation and confusion, bewilderment. After being here in Yogyakarta and then having the guru that fell down, and then the battle of Kurukshetra practically that ensued after, and then through an opportunity, I ended up in the Boston Temple, you know, thinking that, okay, well, Yogyakarta is crazy, but you know, somewhere else where, you know, I can just be a normal devotee. But then the rug got completely pulled from under there as well, and I was living outside the temple, you know, not doing anything too crazy, but like I definitely was not chanting 16 rounds a day, wasn't going to the programs, was going to the temple sometimes, but just really, really bewildered, you know, didn't even feel like I had anyone to turn to for help. But at the same time, knew that I wanted to just be a devotee and be in like a normal situation again. And then, you know, then experienced experience actually that Mother Medini, who I had the fortune of associating with previously, actually sent someone to, you know, to come and help me and give me like a ray of hope at that time, and, you know, and to help get me back on the path and to see that it was actually possible.
It's very good. Many of you who have been an integral part of the community, you know, saw that very, very difficult period that happened after, you know, Kirtananda's exposure and fall, and the many transitions that the community went through, and everybody was affected. We're all still being affected, even now, some of the fallout. And so as a young Gurukuli, a young resident in the community, trying to process her own life, and then she goes to another place, and through her dedication and prayer and intensity, then Krishna arranges some, you know, some help. Who was the person?
That was you.
Oh. I just gave you more headaches in your life. Okay, I think we'll stop there. And this afternoon, for our little darshan, and I guess in the same place. What is the time? Anybody recalls? Is it 3:30? I think 3:30, 3:45. Becky, maybe is it on the wall there? 3:45. Okay, so before I leave at 3:45, maybe we can do it at 3:30. Let's try to come at 3:30. We can have some just. Open discussion. Maybe we'll just do questions and answer. I don't want to overload you. I could do some more things. But I think we'll try to look at what we discussed up to now and some questions and answers that you might have, questions you may have, and we can try to answer at that time. And as Malati said, I have to leave in about a week or two to start doing some more international travel. And I'm back in the summer, probably late April or so. And a short time after that, we have the North American GBC meeting, Festival of Inspiration. And at that time, I'll try to come maybe a few days early or stay a few days after to be more available, especially for, you know, personal darshans. And of course, I always give some kind of seminar, interactive workshop at that time also. But if some of you can get the tapes of what we discussed these few days, because a lot of information is there that can help some of the members in our community who particularly didn't hear some of these things. At least it could give them some additional variables to reflect on as each person tries to deal with their own struggle and hopefully tries to look at closer at what they can offer to be able to help make some improvements. And keep this kind of list going on in our minds of what we can do in a particular area so that we have, you know, less of these demons surfacing and having power. So it was nice engaging in a little warfare, chivalrous activities today, early in the morning. ISKCON found the child his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki.